Would you give us your name, please?
My name is Guy Chilton.
Mr. Chilton, on some of the tapes, we decided that there must be an interesting history to Showboat Park. And I wonder if you could tell us some things about Showboat Park.
I will do my best. From what I've learned from old records, Showboat Park, which is located on land granted by the United States government to Oliver Chapman on July 14, 1842, was bought by Albert Cantwell in approximately 1901. He developed it into what he called a driving park, as he made one of the best half-mile racetracks, complete with grandstand, in this part of the state. Besides being used for horse races, bicycle races were also held there. My friend Charlie Getson used to race on that track. Later, a part of the land was made into a deer park and also had a bear and other animals in it. About the same time, he had built a beautiful home in which Don Raymond and his wife now live. This place he named Gate Lodge, as it is near the entrance to the park. Some baseball was played there in the early 1900s, but it was not used too much for that until about 1920, when a good diamond with a grandstand was built. About 1933, during the Depression, with funds and labor from the WPA, a 9-hole golf course was constructed. Bill Brigham, maintenance man for Peak Packing Company, got a lot of used pipe from a place in Flint and also connected it up for us, and water was piped to the greens. Jack Brotzman and Joe Kettler did most of the other labor and maintenance on the course. The course was sharp, I think, with a par 29 or 30. I believe there were 3 4 par holes and 6 3 par holes. Anyway, with the Depression on, it provided a lot of fun for local golfers. If I remember right, Harold Schultz and Carl Getson tied for the lowest score ever made on the course. And Jim Common made a hole-in-one on number 3 hole. Then later in the 30s, Showboat began, and of course that is a terrific story in itself.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chilton. I appreciate that. Guy, when you were talking about Showboat Park, you mentioned a ball team. Was baseball played at Showboat Park?
There was very little baseball played in Showboat Park until about 1918 or 1920. The park where the best teams played and the high school played was on North Lund Street, right behind Miller Produce Company.
How long was that park there?
That park was there probably since 1905 or so.
Well, you mean the high school did not have any place to play that belonged to the school?
That's right.
Uh-huh. Well, when did you start playing?
When did I start playing? I played on an organized team probably from 1910 when I lived in the country, went to Fergus School. I played with what they call the kid team in Chesapeake.
Was that from people from all around went into that?
Just in the Chesapeake district.
Well, I have a picture in my hand here of a high school team, I guess. It's got all sorts of uniforms, though, and I just can't quite understand it. There's banner uniforms and polo uniforms and golden uniforms and seems like there's one under here. How would that be?
Well, those suits were inherited from what we called the town team or the big team, we would call it. And the other team I spoke of was the kid team, and those suits were furnished by different companies. And the other suit that you didn't recognize was furnished by the Green Band Clothier. It was the AG Clothier, it says on the suits.
You mean that there were this many teams around here And then when the teams got done with the suits, they let the high school have them?
It was practically the same teams, but in different years. The suits were finished by different companies. And I consider the minor team the best team that ever represented Chesaning.
Who's this little fellow right here guy? He hasn't any suit at all.
Well, I guess he was so small that you couldn't find him if you put one of those suits on him, and the other one went with myself. I was 12 years old at the time.
And were you in school?
In the ninth grade.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about some of the players that you remember, or some of the teams you remember.
I better correct one thing I said. I believe that at this time I was 13, because I was 12 years old when I finished the eighth grade, and I believe I was 13. I didn't want to tell you a big thing.
Well, your birthday's in July, isn't
right.
it? Well, tell us about some of the players or the teams that you've known.
Well, the high school team, I told you about the kid team, and this was the high school team that they played on for 4 years, and then they got to play on what they call the big team, which is the town team, but it was after the banner team, which I've called the best team that ever represented Chesaning, had more or less disbanded, you know, but there were some of those players that played with us for the kids, too.
Well, tell us about the banner team.
The banner team played from about, the team that I'm going to tell you about played from about maybe 1905 to 1912 or 13. And then, as they say, some of them played on with the younger people. But by the time I joined them, most of them didn't play with them anymore.
Well, did they play just here in Chesaning, or did they travel?
Well, they traveled quite a lot. Sure, there were towns like Owen and Montville and Maryland, Hemlock, and towns like that. Would you like to know the names of some of the players?
Yes.
Well, what a lot of people thought was the best player that ever represented Chesaning was a man by the name of Fred Snow. You understand that the old-timers say this.
Yes.
And I believe it myself, although I kind of favored my brother Alma too. Fred Snow was a long ball hitter, and my brother Alma was more of a percentage hitter, and I'm sure he hit 100 points better than Fred did, but he didn't hit the long ball. But he was a real good infielder, and later played in the leagues, and he was what Ed Walser called the best catcher that Chesaning ever had. Ed Walser was a real good shortstop to play on the banner team, and he's still living. And he's about to win on his living because Mr. Snow died a couple of years ago at the age of 95 years.
And you didn't play on the team you're talking about now. You're too young for
it. No, I sure wish I had. I think I played one game with him, to tell the truth, but I was still in short pants and I didn't do too good. But I didn't play one game with most of those players.
Why did the team disband?
Well, people left town, and I would like to name these players over for you. I have a picture right here that I can tell you. Well, the only one was Ed Miller, who I believe was the best, real hometown pitcher that ever lived around here. And the next man is Art Thayer. He was a good pitcher and also a third baseman. And the old high school gymnasium was named after Art Thayer. In the old school down here, because he made a great name for himself in athletics, and also he was killed in World War on the day after the armistice was signed, World War I. And the next man, his brother Cyril, or he was called Cy, he was an outfielder, and he was a pretty fat player. And this one here is Alan Smith, who called Grandpa Smith because he wore a mustache. And he was the third baseman. And this man is the great Fred Snow right there. He only died a couple of years ago. And this man's been in Brandy Hall, and he's really not a native, but he was here for a few years. And I believe he was a second baseman. And that's my brother Les, and he was a really good outfielder, and he was there also, which was a terrific shortstop. And that's my brother Elmer, that I told you about. And this man was another catcher from Salmon. He helped us out at times. And I'll tell you his name some other time. And this here, I think, is Nick Scheitler, who was a relative of Doc Scheitler's, and he pitched for the University of Michigan. And he visited here and played with us at different times. And I really believe that's the greatest team we ever had, but I don't want to play down the teams that are playing now. I presume there's lots of them that could have made this team. And players that played with Chesney after this team, well, I mean a few, Ralph Marshall could have made this team. I believe Clayton Hazelton could have made this team, and Miles Babcock, good friend of mine, I can't tell you his first name even. I think he could have made this team. But there never was enough of them that won in 1 year that could compare to this team, in my estimation. So, that's the only thing around here, I can't.
Well, I notice these must have been quite well attended. I see these crowds here and pictures with a lot of people watching.
Well, sure, we had big crowds because there wasn't so much entertainment in those days, and baseball seemed to everybody went to the games.
Was it a good competition?
It sure was, especially from St. Charles. And some of these players, and I've told you about, other teams would hire them, like Eddie Walter and Ed Miller, to come and pitch for them for a big game. Ed Miller to pitch and Ed Walter to play shortstop, and my two brothers, Simon and Les, were always in demand, and they played minor league ball, both of them. And Brother Armour also played on the very best semi-pro teams in Detroit after he moved to Detroit. So I can't say too much for them anymore. I say too much, I guess.
Well, that's all right. It's a nice thing to know that somebody came from Chesney and was able to compete.
Well, they were my brothers, and I played them up too much, but they were good ball players.
Well, I noticed this one team picture here has a lot of L's on it. What did that
mean? Well, that's a country team out here, Lewis. You know where Lewis is?
Well, not exactly.
Lewis was only a store on Four Corners, about a mile south of the Prairie Farm, right near where the tower is.
The TV tower?
The TV tower, yeah. And one of them still living is in the restaurant over there named George Tinker. And these two Indian boys were real good ball players, Art and Sam Henry. And Art Henry was a terrific player, and he was also the chief of all the Chippewa Indians in Michigan. And his daughter was a Chippewa princess. And this here's Roy Hill's brother. I was on most of them. Anything else you think of?
It certainly is interesting. You know, you don't realize that these things have gone on when you just sort of move into a town maybe 40 years ago, you know. At that time, I didn't realize that Chesney had all these ball teams and that they had played as well as they had. They must have been pretty good players if the players would be hired out by other teams, and if some of them could go down to Detroit and play in semi-pro. You know, that's better than average.
And my two brothers also played on the Michigan agricultural team, which is now Michigan State University, for one term. In those days, I was a builder who was going to mean much. They simply went down there for the springtime only and played on a team which was coached by Macklin, who was a football and baseball coach down there. And they played for that one tournament, and that's how they went to Michigan State College, MAC at that time, and then they went out and played during the summer in league teams.
In other words, they just went to Michigan State to play ball.
You could say that.
They learned a little besides
that. Right. They played for a lot of years. Well, I can't think of too much of any of those people.
Well, those have been really interesting. If you think of anything more, we'll add it on or put it on the other side of the tape. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, I think I'm bragging off and on.
All right.
The one story, which is my favorite story, which shows the dedication of ball players in the old days, and was told to me by Ed Miller quite shortly before the time that he died. And I don't know what year it was, but they were holding a two-day tournament in Merle, Michigan. And in those days, we traveled by horse and buggy, and Doc Colbert livery stable down here had a three-seated surrey, or buggy, and that would take the whole team, except maybe three would go in a one-horse buggy and rig. And they started off with this tournament on a hot day from Merle, Michigan, and they got his Forrest Bennett, and I guess those town team kids, or those town kids, they didn't know much about horses. So by the time they got to Bennett, which was 11 miles, the horses were tuckered out and just couldn't go any farther. So they left the team of horses there with a man to take care of them, and they took off on foot down the road to they went as far as Hemlock, which is about 6 miles from Bennett. And by that time they were getting a little hungry, and they went in the store and they bought a sack of the old-fashioned oatmeal, you know, I don't think they had this quick cook then, and they bought several pounds of raw hamburger, and they mixed those two up together and they ate it just like that, raw. And then they took off down the railroad track to Merle, which was another 5 miles, and played a game of ball in the afternoon. And I don't think on this day, if the kids got as far as that with the car and it broke down and there wasn't any other, I think they'd call the game off. But in those days, it shows what the great lengths they would go to get in a game of baseball. And that's kind of my favorite story right there.
Well, that is a very interesting one. Did you think of that Mr. Lease's name?
Yes, I do. I never had a better friend. It was Albert Lease.
And I happened to see a picture that said something about Zacharias on it. Where did
you go? Well, I was that catcher from Saginaw. I couldn't think of his name.
Oh. Well, this has been real good. Now, have you thought of anything more now?
I could talk to you around as much as I want.
Mm-hmm.
That's about all, I guess.
Well, we're always glad to have you say all you want to.
Yeah. Well, I could tell you how I became good friends with Albert Lease, and that's a separate story. But the first time I met him, we were practicing in the spring of the year on what they call the Old Grove, which was higher ground than our diamond and was always dry. And this kid came to play, and I'd never seen him. He was about 12 years old, and I was about 17 maybe. And I could see that he really came to play ball. And so I chose up with another older guy, and right away I chose this kid. And from that time on, we were great buddies. And he was a real good ball player, and he was a good little pitcher and a good batter. And I considered him one of my best friends, and he died about 3 years ago. So I don't know if anyone's interested in that, but me, and that's where it was.